this is a problem that has become acute on this generation's watch. And terribly, the forecast is if we did nothing for coral reefs, we would lose them in the next 25 years. They would be extinct.
Coral reefs are among the most important ecosystems on Earth. But rising temperatures, pollution, and mass bleaching events are pushing these extraordinary ecosystems toward collapse. I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth, and in this episode, fellow ranger and ocean lover Ajay Tagala explores how technology inspired by Formula One racing is being used to restore the world's coral reefs before they disappear forever. Welcome to Wild Tales and the story of racing for reefs.
Often called the rainforests of the sea, coral reefs are among the most diverse and valuable ecosystems on the planet. They provide shelter for thousands of marine species, protect coastlines from storms and erosion, and support the livelihoods of millions of people around the world. Healthy reefs are essential to the balance of ocean life, and the health of our oceans is deeply connected to the health of our planet. Put simply, when coral reefs thrive, oceans thrive. And when they decline, the effects ripple far beyond the sea. So what is coral?
They are this remarkable organism that happens to be an animal, vegetable and mineral, all wrapped into one.
Here's Anna Marsden, Managing Director of the Great Barrier Reef Foundation.
And as the world gets a little bit warmer and oceans heat up, we're observing more frequency of an incident called coral bleaching. It's essentially where the coral structure, which is wrapped in an algae, the algae over photosynthesizes. So it creates too much energy and food. And so the coral host spits out the algae. So essentially, when you see these stark images of white coral reefs, they're starving because they've lost their food source, because it's too hot for them to exist with the plant that gives them their food source.
The Great Barrier Reef Foundation was founded 26 years ago after the first coral bleaching event on the Great Barrier Reef.
So a coral bleaching event is a terrible thing to witness, but it's not dead coral, it's deeply heat-stressed coral. But if the heating event goes on for too long or if it's too extreme, the corals just starve to death.
And while coral bleaching remains the most urgent and visible threat facing coral reefs, it's far from the only danger putting these underwater cities at risk.
Coral reefs have always had a bit of a perfect storm of threats. There's been unsustainable fisheries. Of course, there's, you know, plastics and marine debris. There's also, in Australia, we have this terrible crown of thorns starfish that just eats coral. And when they become at plague proportions, they basically just mow down a coral reef. So these threats have always been around, but there's always been enough of a recovery window for coral reefs to repair themselves, because they can repair themselves. What we're seeing is there's just too many coral bleaching events of a frequency and a severity that there is no longer the natural window for corals to recover. So, for example, since 2016, we've had 5 mass coral bleaching events on the Great Barrier Reef. And in a normal environment, a coral reef, given 5 years after a coral bleaching event or a big cyclone where the corals get all beaten up, it will look as pristine as you've ever seen it. So if you can get a recovery window of about 5 years, fantastic. We're getting 1 or 2.
A significant amount of the world's coral reefs have already been lost, including over half of the Great Barrier Reef, the world's largest coral reef system.
It's 2,300 kilometres long. So it's the size of about 50 million football fields. So an ecosystem that large to lose half of its biodiversity, if half the housing in London was to just be removed, you think about the displaced communities, all of that disruption. That's what's going on in the oceans right now. This is a problem that has become acute on this generation's watch. And terribly, the forecast is if we did nothing for coral reefs, we would lose them in the next 25 years. They would be extinct. Well, or very close to. So we have to solve this.
And in September 2023, an unexpected partner joined the race to save coral reefs.
McLaren Racing is probably best known for racing in Formula One.
Here's Kim Wilson, Director of Sustainability at McLaren Racing.
We are currently the world champions in both drivers and the constructors' championships.
As a high-performance, carbon-intensive sport, Formula One faces significant environmental challenges. In response, teams are increasingly embracing sustainability and innovation, pursuing ambitious goals to reduce their environmental footprint despite the long road ahead.
As a racing team in Formula One, we recognise that we need to balance the growth of our sport and our team with the impact that we're having on the environment. And we take that responsibility incredibly seriously. We were the first team to have a validated science-based target, and we have committed to halve our emissions by 2030 and to achieve net zero by 2040. We do think that actually we have the most incredible platform to be able to address some of the complex challenges that we need to solve in terms of environmental solutions.
And can the technology, expertise, and global platform of the sport actually help with challenges like coral reef restoration?
We're here to bring both a pioneering and exhilarating experience to our fans who love and watch racing, but we're also a really high-performance, high-precision engineering company who are really at the forefront of innovation and technology.
And it's that high-precision engineering that was exactly what the Great Barrier Reef Foundation needed to scale up their work tackling coral reef restoration. Coral reef restoration is a new process. A technique called coral gardening is more widely used. In 2019, I was excited to join a conservation project in Gaya Island in Borneo, where we took part in a coral gardening assignment. I got such a buzz from helping to nurture a reef back to its former glory. However, this project was on a much smaller scale.
Reef restoration is quite a new terminology. Coral gardening's been around for a long time, where people will crack off a bit of coral and tie it to a tile and let it grow, and that's great. But on a coral reef system as big as the Great Barrier Reef, that's just bonkers to think that you could scale manually reef restoration. So we've been very focused on how could you upscale reef restoration at a meaningful level to actually be that missing inch to help the regeneration and speed up the regeneration of coral reefs in those small windows of recovery.
And once a year, coral reefs begin their own remarkable process of recovery and regeneration through an event known as coral spawning.
Sir David Attenborough describes it as one of the most wondrous events in the world, where essentially all the corals produce these reproductive bundles which turn into coral babies about one or two nights a year. And as long as all that coral spawn and those coral babies get to where they need to go, those coral babies will settle and then grow into big corals that can be functioning and go on, and circle of life continues. And it is like an upside down snowstorm, but it's the most amazing thing to be in the ocean and witness.
And as coral spawning happens on just one or two nights each year, if that narrow window is missed, scientists have to wait another full year for the next opportunity.
That's a very tight performance window. And if you compare that to what we do in racing, that's a very similar challenge that we have to face. And we're used to solving those problems. And the key to that is preparation and planning, and have a strategy to be able to perform in that tight window where you have the once a year opportunity.
But it's not just the timing that's a challenge with this process.
Unfortunately, because there's so much degraded corals, all that coral spawns don't always get to where they need to get to. And then the other thing, the coral spawn's really delicious. So all the birds and the turtles and the fish go, no, no, no. So in this moment where it's like everything matters, you've got all these amazing animals having a wonderful time. So it's precious. This is the only chance we have to naturally rebuild the reef, because we don't want to get into designer reefs. We want to just provide that extra inch for Mother Nature.
To help give these spawning events the greatest chance of success, the Great Barrier Reef Foundation and scientists in Australia developed a pioneering restoration technique known as coral IVF.
Essentially what that means is on those coral spawning evenings, we go out there and collect all the coral babies and we rear them up so they're pretty hardy, sort of a week old, and then we take them to locations where the corals are unable to reproduce themselves naturally or the reef is just absent and we can let them resettle.
But the Great Barrier Reef Foundation needed help to progress the process in terms of speed, volume, and affordability. Enter McLaren Racing.
Coral reef restoration is a highly manual, very labour-intensive, very sensitive process. So what we can bring to the table as McLaren Racing is helping to make the existing process more efficient, scalable, and cost-effective. We have a small team of engineers and they're in a group called McLaren Accelerator. They take the F1 know-how and experience that we have in how we develop a race car, how we go about going racing, and then they apply it to projects away from the racetrack. The engineers who worked on this specific project have a mass manufacturing production background as engineers. So they really have that beautiful sweet spot of Formula One mindset approach in engineering, how you can then apply that into industrial manufacturing processes and taking the best of both worlds and combining them.
Given that we had sort of hit a wall of where science could take us, the idea of bringing engineers, but not just any engineers, engineers obsessed with speed into our little world and going, anything you could do here, seemed quite curious.
The current coral IVF process begins with scientists collecting floating coral spawn bundles during the reef's annual spawning event. In controlled tanks, the eggs and sperm are carefully mixed to maximise fertilisation success before the developing coral are encouraged to settle onto large tiles. Those tiles are then cut into smaller tabs, fitted into ceramic cradles, and returned to the ocean, where the coral babies can attach and grow, eventually rebuilding the reef.
It allows you to produce really hardy, healthy corals at a large scale and get them where they need to get to.
McLaren saw two bottlenecks.
One was, we have all the coral babies settling on these big sheets that almost look like chocolate blocks, little squares, and we were then breaking up the individual tiles with human hands, sort of squishing the coral babies. It sounds more graphic than it is. So they were thinking about a system to precisely cut those sheets. The second thing is you have to take this thing and place it in these coral cradles. And you're doing all of that underwater. And let's be honest, after about 10, it's really boring. So they also saw a process that you could possibly automate that. That speeds up the production of the next generation of corals getting out settling.
And I remember this so clearly, sitting in a room with about 10 of us workshopping. Okay, what's the goal? And that's how we would go about it in Formula One. So our goal was, how can we reduce lap time? How can we go around a racetrack faster? And the goal for us was, how can we plant a million corals on the reef that survive in a year? And so what we wanted to do was develop a semi-automated process to be able to remove that highly labour-intensive manual part of taking the baby corals and putting them into the devices and turn that into a machine. We didn't want it to be expensive, you know, highly energy intensive. It had to be something that could be operated by one or two people to get the output that we needed. And so that's when we then went into the mode of designing and then testing and building Oscar. It's called the Operational System for Coral Assembly and Restoration, or as we like to affectionately call it, Oscar. Now, it's no coincidence that we happen to have one of our Formula One drivers who's called Oscar Piastri as well.
Oscar is the size of a shipping container and looks like an enclosed engineering rig, with a metal frame and transparent safety panels. The robotic handling mechanism moves the coral cradles through different stages of assembly. It looks like a high-end electronics assembly machine that you might see in a factory, but instead of assembling electronics or car parts, it's rapidly loading baby corals into reef restoration cradles.
We did very much go through a very similar process to how we go about developing a race car of a regulation season or a beginning of a year. So we design it, we then simulate it, then we go to test, we iterate and we improve it based on the results and the data, and then we go out to our first race, and then after every race we take the data and we improve it and we look at how we can make it better. And that's exactly the process we're following with Oscar and the machine.
And just like Formula One, the results speak for themselves.
When we timed ourselves on how quickly we were able to manually assemble these tiles of baby corals into the cradles, it was taking 90 seconds. With Oscar, we can do that in less than 10. That's an 800% efficiency gain. When you then scale that up, and if it's operating as designed, we can then go from that 100,000 corals planted on the reef to 1 million in a year. And we'll do it at a cost reduction as well.
I mean, the production output of this is a game changer. You could have, on a Great Barrier Reef, 15 of these micro nurseries all working. So suddenly, we're finally in a position to regenerate at a meaningful scale. This is a story now of leaning in with a solution in a very targeted, meaningful way. There could be the missing piece for the recovery of these vital ecosystems.
Oscar is now in Townsville in Queensland at the National Sea Simulator, the world's largest research aquarium, where he's being tested on baby corals that were grown in the 2025 to 2026 season.
So we're running the machine using those baby corals and looking at the results. And like we do in racing, we will be learning from what's gone well, what hasn't gone so well, and tweaking and iterating the machine as we go. And then the big challenge will be, how do we use it when the coral starts spawning again in November 2026? So I'm very excited to see how we go with that.
And as with racing, the parameters and ambitions continue to change and grow.
We still have some work to do because it's really important that we see this through to a reliable machine. So again, if I go back to how we approach racing, we put that car on track at the first race of the season. It's 80 to 100% different from the car at the end of the season because you're constantly chasing for that thousandth of a second of performance gain. And what I love is that, you know, the engineers who have got us from 90 seconds to 10 seconds are like, we can go faster. We can do better. That's not good enough. So we want to be reliable and we want to go faster because that's what coral reefs need.
We need to be able to produce and generate corals that are tougher because we're still going to keep getting warmer and warmer and warmer. There's no point just producing the corals that are weak for the future. What we love about this is the broodstock that we're using in this process is surviving corals. These are corals that already have survived, you know, 5-6 coral bleaching events. And then we're looking at ways that we can also boost that thermal tolerance. So the combinations of this throughput and high production, plus the marine science that we're working on to help these corals toughen up, gives us, we believe, the winning formula to be able to produce corals and keep these ecosystems alive while the world works on the warming issue and things like that.
When organisations apply the things that they are good at, their skill sets, to some of the world's most complex challenges, I think is something that I hope others will take from this as well. There's been a lot of doubt around whether or not we were just telling a nice PR story, and to be able to stand up and say, I think we have honestly helped with the conservation breakthrough for coral reef restoration, and this machine could be the life support that coral reefs need, is something I will hold with me for the rest of my life and look back on it with immense pride. The collaboration has worked.
In a perfect world, these ecosystems will just be thriving and happy with all the complexity of life, doing what they need to do, because they have for centuries. They've hit a rough spot. What we are going to do is aid that recovery. And there will be a time when the corals will be able to repair themselves again. And we can go back to just enjoying them, knowing that the marine life on planet Earth is happy because coral reefs are doing their function.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you want to find out more about the Great Barrier Reef Foundation or McLaren Racing's sustainability work, there are links in the episode show notes. Until next time, goodbye.